Making Moves, where we celebrate the moves that women are making. My name is Amy Pons, founder of Unlock the Magic, coaching, healing, and marketing. I'm joined today with Royce Morales. Royce is a renowned trailblazer, creator of an innovative, time-tested, spiritually-based approach to inner transformation called Perfect Life Awakening. This profound, multidimensional inner work allows for discovering and neutralizing the subconscious origins of triggers from this as well as previous lifetimes. Royce has been providing groups her intuitively received process for over four decades, empowering people to end self-sabotage, discover their authenticity, awaken personal transformation, and deserve to create a life of meaning. She now offers her life-shifting courses remotely in small groups to provide individual attention. She offers private inner discovery sessions to facilitate deeper work. Her ultimate mission is to help usher in the spiritual evolution of humanity. Royce hosts two shows on OM Times Media, The Perfect Life Awakening Show and It's All Mirrors, every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific. Royce also posts Royce's Ramblings articles weekly on Substack, and she's a published author of many publications. Royce, welcome.
Thank you so much, Amy, for having me. I'm thrilled. Thank you.
You're welcome. I felt so called this year, specifically in 25, as we're all experiencing the cosmic consciousness or the cosmic awakening. And maybe we'll get into that. But our DNA as humans is being changed.
Yes.
And what's awesome is that more and more, this podcast specifically, I created it about 6 months after I left corporate, more mainstream. And it was more about getting like really mad at all the systems. And like, that's awesome. You know, like it served me back then, you know, to like really get up in arms about it. And beautifully, everyone is upgrading toward whatever you want to call it. I call it, as everyone is becoming the youest you that you can you, which is like the ultimate goal here, that why we came here in this space and time.
Yes.
More of this kind of conversation about healing, feeling good, not letting everything outside of you dictate who you are inside. There's more of a calling for these types of conversations and like, hey, what the heck am I feeling? And why am I feeling it now? And what?
Yes.
So exactly. I'm feeling that more as more and more previously disconnected humans are like plugging in because we're being upgraded. This type of conversation is being called for.
Yes. Yeah. And I think because of that upgrade, everything is chaotic and up in the air and confusing and hopeless, and all the stuff that's going on around us is all part of that. So we can get to the truth. You know, you can't get to the truth by burying lies. It just doesn't work. So it's good. It's all good.
Well, that's, I have an article out on LinkedIn called The Lighthouse, because I am the lighthouse, finding other lighthouses and lighting into others to find their own lighthouse. And Royce, to your point, it's never about like broad brushing and being like, oh, I'm fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's just fine. No, no, that's not the vibe. Everything outside of you has always been wild, tumultuous, turbulence, whatever you want to call it. And the volume is being like maxed out, speakers shaking.
Yes.
And so that 111, ooh, at my time at least. Thank you guys. Thank you, universe. So to your point, it's not about like, let's just feel good. It's feel your feels.
Yes.
And understand what it is igniting inside you so that you can feel good. So you, something I was sharing this morning with someone was they're like, you know, I had kind of like a complete meltdown. And then I felt amazing. I feel like I'm going crazy. I'm like, well, the meltdown was the moving through it, though. That's why you were able to come out the other side and feel amazing.
Yeah.
But we're just not used to, I'll say we, the larger collective over the past 100 years necessarily, isn't, well, maybe since the lifetime, since the beginning of time, isn't used to feeling through.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a very important thing that you just said. And I talk about that a lot in my program because we're taught pretty much from day one to not feel. You know, we're yelled at if we're upset, we're told we're silly. You know, if you do that, you're going to go to your room, all these things that we're told. And we've just learned from day one to start suppressing our emotions. And the way I talk about emotions, I compare them to circles that want to be completed. You know, the circle starts and then we stop it and we pull back. instead of just allowing it to complete itself and then it's done, you know? And it's like, oh, okay, I'm done. Thank you.
And I think that's beautiful. And you go back to like when it started. So oftentimes I'll say, when's the last time? When I was a really small child, I used to take a stick and just kind of dig around in the dirt. And it was the most fun, like ever.
Huh.
I'm like, maybe I should do that more often.
Definitely. There you go.
Before someone said, oh, stop that. You're going to get dirty.
Yeah. Or why are you doing that? That's so silly. Yeah.
Like, you're going to do what? Yeah. I'm going to go play in the dirt. Okay. So whatever that looks like for everybody on any degree.
Yeah.
Because with this awakening, and I love how, Royce, you specifically are able to connect the language so that, like, if you were to talk to me 5 years ago, I'd be like, seriously, Royce, what are you talking about?
I know.
What are the actual words that you're saying?
Yes.
So, but it's something, again, it's, I've had it in me, my entire being. I just kind of forgot about it for a long time.
Yes. Yeah. And that's how I approach my teaching. I'm not teaching anybody anything they don't already know. I'm just awakening it. I'm just bringing it to the surface and going, here, remember this? So yeah, that's a good point.
And part of it is reinforcing this element around giving each other permission. A lot of people don't like that. It's not, first of all, detached from like the idea that you're not giving sovereignty to anyone else. It's more about, hey, that thing that you felt, that you were like, huh, that's weird. That's such a coincidence. Lovingly allowing, saying, is it a coincidence or did you call that in?
Did.
Did you create that?
Yes, you did.
Exactly. So it's allowing that space to be like, oh no, you did that. Great job. So, and then once they start to trust it for themselves, they're like, oh, I create everything. Got it.
Yeah. And that's the hardest thing for people to get. That
yes.
is the number one most difficult thing for people to get when I teach them that, because that encompasses not just the positive stuff, but the negative stuff. It's like, well, why did I attract that? What did I need to get from that? Why? What is this showing me about myself that I'm in denial of? And I talk about that all the time, all the time. I call it mirroring. So whatever it is that we've suppressed in ourselves, we literally send out a message to the universe that says, I need to see this about me. Could you bring somebody over to me that's going to push my button so I can see that about my denial? And they do. And instead of saying, oh, well, thank you for showing me my denial, we just go, oh, that person's a jerk. They need to be out of my life, you know.
And also, both could be true.
Yes.
Meaning they show you what's already in you. I love how you just said that, because I always say allowing synchronicities or allowing everything external to be a mirror for what's happening inside. I always say, like, it's both the easiest and the hardest thing to do. The
Yes.
reason I say it's the easiest, because once you get it, it's like, oh, whoa, mind blowing. It's like completely past our comprehension. And we're like, oh, that's right. I'm a spiritual divine being. I can create anything I want. Awesome.
Yeah.
And to your point, no one, especially if someone is like only in 3D consciousness, no one wants to hear you're creating all the bad stuff in your life.
Yeah.
And so I have found it's really helpful to say, yeah, that feels bad. And you get, because you're a divine being and you are becoming aware of everything outside of you, you get the choice to opt into or opt out of that energy that which does not serve your favorite self or the stuff that really makes you mad. You don't have to opt into it. You can be aware and be like, thank you, teacher. Thank you. Thanks for mirroring back. And you get to choose to move differently. The same way that you'll sit down with someone that you just met and you're like, wow, this is wild. We have so much in common. That same commonality thread happens for the stuff that doesn't feel good too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And as you're talking, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about before, how the planet is transforming. And I keep thinking, you know, I'm kind of, shall we say, a news junkie? Never used to be until the last few years. But now I just read everything and I just look at it in a different way. I look at it as, We chose this. We may not have voted for this, but on some level, we chose this. I had a very serious awakening years and years ago, and I wish I could remember which president I was standing in the voting booth about to vote for. And I looked at the options and I said, it doesn't matter who I vote for because I've already chosen who's going to be president. And I was right. And it wasn't the person I would have voted for. So it was kind of, it was unnerving in a sense that, oh my God, I have no real power in this because on a planetary level, we need to go through something so this person gets elected. But it also felt like, well, yeah, we're all doing this together. This is great. So, yeah.
My gosh. I feel like so many people listening right now, their heads are exploding because they're like, what in the actual fuck? We created this right now. So let's go there. So I was that camp last year where, oh my gosh, if you'll indulge me, I was coming back from this beautiful women's camp in the south of France in a castle.
Wow.
And yeah, so I was like on cloud nine. I was in the cosmos. I was coming back and like very real 3D suddenly, like I was catapulted. I was in Canada on a layover. And it was the moment where last year in the election, Biden stepped away, and then like in the same breath endorsed Kamala. And I was like, I was literally dancing in the airport. I was so stoked because so many levels of, I'm a womanist, so I'm always amplifying women, thus women making moves. And that's not to say I don't support all humanity. I feel called to amplify women. So I was doing happy dance and I got really into the 3D politics of it all. Then I remembered, oh, I don't have a say in this. It's already decided. And I had a vision April 2024 when Biden was still in. I was like, oh, it's going to be Trump. Like, I absolutely knew that back in April. And then, of course, when Kamala stepped forward, my 3D was like, yay, we're in charge for a while. I was like, okay. And so I, like, did all the things, campaigning and canvassing and holding watch parties and all this. And then about, I want to say October, maybe, my 5D and beyond tapped my shoulder and was like, remember? I was like, oh my gosh, right. I forgot. Yep. So it wasn't like I was laying down my sword and picking up like a staff and saying like, okay, I got this. I'm going to hold the frequency of what we're about to head into. And I still voted for Kamala, of course, you know, whatever. But, and I knew, to your point, I love that you brought this up because this is probably one of the hardest conversations to have right now for the paradigm shift. We needed everything completely turned up on its head, uprooted, completely dismantled, start from scratch almost kind of vibes.
Yes.
And we weren't ready for the solution yet. We weren't ready for the balance yet. Yeah. Everything had to completely go into turmoil. And when I say these things out loud, like on LinkedIn, people are like, how could you advocate for human suffering? I didn't say that, first of all. And just because I knew intuitively everything had to be uprooted. Did it have to be this messy?
Apparently so.
Apparently. But like, I also, I never wish for human harm. No, I wish we could dismantle and uproot everything with no human harm, suffering, anything. I wish that so much. And that's just not how it's unfolding.
Yeah, whatever it takes, you know, whatever it takes for us to get it and for us to see our own denial in our own mirrors, really. You know, I talk about magnification mirrors. Sometimes, you know, if I have like an inch worth of unresolved anger in me and I'm just not willing to look at it, I'll attract somebody with 100 milligrams of anger to help wake me up to it. And whatever it takes, it really does.
So that's the kind of daily, that's my whole goal with Lighthouse is just saying, feel more than one thing. It can feel really messy and gross outside. And at the same time, you can trust the same way we were talking about earlier, when you sit in the muck and you trust that there is something on the other side of the muck.
Yeah.
That's how you move through. That's the same thing here. And oh, by the way, this is an energetic ask right now. It's for us to hold that frequency, and we are literally changing and shifting and creating the world.
Yes.
In what we stand in. And it's going to look different for everybody all the time. You might feel called to go on the front lines and protest, whatever, or sit at home and send vibes, whatever it is. Ho'oponopono is one of my favorite to send out into the world. So thank you for giving that space to like go into that crunchiness that we have right now.
Yes. Yes. And you kind of have to follow where you're led, where your higher consciousness pulls you. You know, back in the 60s, I was a hippie, a flower child, whatever you want to label me as. And I was out there all the time protesting. And now to me, it just feels like, no, I'm just supposed to teach others about resolving their buttons and their triggers so we can get to love from a real place. And the 100th monkey theory, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's a great analogy. There was this island where a bunch of wild monkeys lived. And all of a sudden, one day, one of them decided to go to the river and wash the fruit that he was about to eat. Simultaneously, on all neighboring islands, all the monkeys started washing their fruit. So it's that kind of thing. It takes one person to shift a whole lot of other people. And sometimes that's the most powerful thing you can do. So I'm being the 100th monkey.
Samesies. And this happened recently in my real world life. I mean, I went over to Walgreens to pick something up and there was an altercation at the checkout stand. And I was like, whoa. And I'm like, okay, so I quickly went inside myself and I started reciting Ho'oponopono. And wouldn't you know, the altercation neutralized.
Wow.
So it's both, again, Royce, both that easy and that hard to grasp that that's just how easily we can shift energy.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's not necessarily casting spells. You're holding your own light.
Yes.
And that vibrates out. I think that's something that people aren't quite necessarily getting yet.
Yet.
Yeah, right. Key point, yet. So, yeah. Well, what an intro. It's already been 20 minutes. So, Royce, what moves are you excited to be making right now? What's coming up for you?
I am so excited because I have written 3 books, and one of them has inspired a literary agent who has taken it on and wants me to redo it, of course, and do all kinds of things to it, but she's taken it on. I've actually tried for almost 10 years to get a literary agent. And I found the perfect one. She's in England and she's taken on my book and she wants to sell it to a publisher and she thinks that she's going to be able to do it. Now, simultaneously, she works with a screenwriter and the screenwriter read one of my other books that is about the real truth about soulmates. And she thought, oh my gosh, this would make a great screenplay. So she's turning that book into a screenplay, and she keeps referring to it as a, what is she calling it, a massive hit. Or she's British also. She has some British words that she uses, but she's really excited about it. And I'm really excited about it too, because it's a kind of a semi-biographical story about a spiritual teacher who met her soulmate and what happened from that. It's all about discovering our past lives together and all of the resistance and all the things that happen from that quote chance meeting. And it's going to be a fascinating, either a full-on movie or a TV series. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Cool. So I can look back and say, I had Royce Morales on my show. And
yes.
When there's like an internationally acclaimed hit show or movie and book and all the things.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
So I feel called to ask you, how would you correlate what you just described of all these 3D amazingness, you know, unfolding and like your teachings and your work becoming more of a mainstream global stage? We sign soul contracts for that too, right?
Yes, definitely.
Can you share what we just said? when I go try to go down that road of soul contracts, I'm like, okay, can we explain this in a really digestible way? And I think you'd be the greatest person to do that.
Well, soul contracts are what we've chosen when we're still in a spiritual form. We look back on all of our lifetimes, however many there were, and we look at what we didn't accomplish, what we did accomplish, what we should have accomplished, how we got in our own way, all the things that stopped us from fulfilling our soul purpose. And we come up with a way that's going to really support it. whether in a negative way or a positive way. So for example, we choose our parents. So I chose parents that absolutely didn't support my spiritual growth at all. They couldn't understand it. They thought I was crazy. Anytime I would experience an emotion, they would look at me like I was a person from outer space. But on a soul level, they were the perfect people to support what I'm here to do. You know, I could tell you a million stories about how that worked in my life, including having a spiritual awakening at the age of 4, where my mom asked me to go wash the front window, and I was having a great time washing the window. And all of a sudden I looked outside and I went, oh my God, my mom's going to die. Oh my God, everybody's going to die. Oh my God, I'm going to die. I had this epiphany. I had never thought about death before. And so I went running into the kitchen, tears streaming down my face. And I said, Mommy, Mommy, what happens when you die? And she said, oh, Royce, nobody knows what happens when you die. You just have to keep everybody in your memory. And that was her answer. And what that did for me, because she was such a logical, she was a genius and she was so logical about everything. But what that did for me was it inspired me to go to start my spiritual journey at the age of 4. So it's that kind of thing that we choose in terms of our contract. Who's going to support it? Who's going to push us further by not supporting it? Who's going to help us get in touch with all the things that we've denied in all those past lives? So I hope that answered your question, long-winded.
You did, and I feel a beautiful synchronicity because I had something similar. I wasn't washing a window, but at nighttime, when I was 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, at nighttime only, I now know I would astral travel. I would travel to other dimensions. This used to keep me up all night long, of like logistically where we would go when we died. And this was in my very young childhood, and it awakened my clairsentience, claircognizance. And again, it was muted for many years, but I started realizing I felt when energy around me wasn't in alignment, shall we say.
Uh-huh.
So that started for me as well at a very young age. And I love what you brought up, because I think what we're learning now and becoming more open to is that on either end of a 3D life, you're very close to the veil or the spiritual realm. And so as children, young children, and folks who are at the end of life, they start remember more than like the middle chunk, where a lot of, like, most of us are. So I think I've seen friends who have small children fan that, and I'm like, that's so cool.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, one of my upcoming podcasts, I'm talking with an educator, and she's also one of my students, and she's been dealing with helping support children in their spirituality because they arrive here fully connected.
Awesome.
Until we get to them, you know? So
exactly.
Yeah, it's really important. Yeah.
To your point, it starts so young because we go to kindergarten, everything becomes mainstream, and you have to fit in
Yes.
the curriculum. And so I think that's what's awesome, is that like through this DNA upgrade that we're all experiencing as well, education is going to look really interesting, because you kind of have to attune to every individual child. Well, our current systems have no way of supporting every individual child. So who knows? And like I always like to say, the how and the what and the when and the where and the why is none of our business.
Yeah.
It's just to hold the vibration of like every individual child, spirit, soul, human has that ability to remember that divine ability.
And they'll get it when they're supposed to get it, you know.
That's true too. Right.
Yeah. But
right.
It'd be really, really nice if we could support that.
It'd be so cool.
Yeah.
I have a friend, her daughter, she is 3 or 4. Since she was like 2, though, she has always talked about her other family, like the one that she came from before this one.
Yeah.
And it's awesome to talk to her about.
Good for her.
My friend is so awake and feeds it. She's like, tell me more about your mom. Like, what was she like? And it's so fascinating. And to the point where now, this is where it's like, as a young child, one day she packed her suitcase. She's like, I'm going to go visit them. And that's when it's like, okay, how do I explain this?
They live too far away.
She packed her suitcase. And
Yeah.
then she was like really upset because my friend wouldn't take her to the airport. Like it was
Oh,
real,
wow.
you know? So then
Wow.
it's like, I'm sure a lot of parents are like, yeah, that's imagination. Well, it's not. It's real. And it's kind of like helping them manage expectations of,
Yeah.
can't go see them. I don't.
But there's the other side too. I'll just tell a personal story. My son arrived very spiritual, very in touch, and he had these amazing experiences. He remembered his birth, things like that. And at a certain age, he completely shut that off. And we're talking about my son, a person who completely supports spirituality. He completely shut it off, and he's made fun of me ever since. So, whatever people need to go through, yeah, it's great to have parents that are supportive, but if that child needs to cut something off for some reason, that's what they'll do.
Right. It's just trusting the pathway, and it's like,
Yeah.
I don't know if you call it rearing. Is this kind of like course, not course correcting, but just like making sure they don't run into walls or something, or like as best you can.
Yeah,
They're
yeah.
gonna do, everybody's supposed to be doing what they're
Yeah.
gonna be doing. So we talked about this a little bit earlier, and this has been kind of a theme throughout, but I want to go to a post that you made actually a day ago. Is it possible to love bullies, and should we? So, and you talk about how your latest Substack is all about the tremendous lessons they offer us. So, Royce, this called to me because I talk about this so much. I'm an 8-time workplace abuse survivor, thriver, whatever you want to call it. Every single 9-to-5 mainstream workplace that I encountered over the course of 20 years ended up in a abusive type situation.
Wow.
I now know that was like a repeated, not only cycle pattern from my childhood, and again, something I signed up for, but also it's of course all for me. But Royce, it's this continuing theme of things can hurt really bad. And telling someone, especially when they're in the thick of it, when it does hurt very bad, that it's all for you, that can add to the hurt. I would have told you to fuck all the way off when you were,
Yeah.
right after my latest experience in 22. So again, tell us why we should love bullies and what's up. And like, if you could cover the spectrum, meaning like someone who's getting bullied actively and they're really, their mental health, like it's really gotten into who they are, their soul essence, all the way to someone like me who has, I will continue to heal from that because it's not just my work experience, it was a longer life pattern. But I understand the other side of it too, that I'm going to do the work and like understand it and find the glimmers, unlock the magic. My business wouldn't be here had that not unfolded. So it's like an all and for me. Can you help me, especially for those people that are really hurting from a bully or from abuse or something like that, and how to start pulling the threads of the lessons again, if they're supposed to already?
Right. Well, it kind of goes back to what I was saying before. You've got to feel your emotions. That's the first step. And if somebody comes up to you and does what I call a spiritual bypass and says, "Oh, but it's all good," or, "Yeah, trust
Exactly.
the pro," whatever it is they say is not helpful. And I find that the best thing to do when somebody's going through that pain is just to be there and recognize it and just be a safe recipient for what they need to say and what they need to feel and what they need to go through. And eventually, especially if they know this stuff logically, eventually they'll be able to see, oh yeah, there was so much value in this. But it also goes back to what I was saying about mirroring, because we attract whatever it is we need to see about ourselves. So maybe we wouldn't be out there beating up a child on the playground, but maybe we're doing something comparable. And to us, spiritually evolved people that we are, even that one little bit of bullying, again, can be magnified so we can get in touch with it. And that comes with some inner work. It really does. Nobody immediately wants to say, "Oh yeah, well, I bullied my friend back in the second grade," or, "back a few lifetimes ago, I was this terrible person bullying everybody." Nobody wants to ever see that. It's much more comfortable for us to feel like a victim. Our fear-based consciousness, I call it, really likes to feel as though we are a victim rather than, "Okay, yes, I attracted this. I set this up. I did this previously so I could wake up to it." It's a hard place to get to, but Meanwhile, just be there for that person when they're going through it, really.
Yeah, absolutely agree. The bypassing
Yeah.
can be very real, and I've seen it a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Even when I'm in the middle, me, who's been doing the work for a while, as you know, we still get triggered, and
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to hear from anybody in that moment of trigger that remember how awake you are, and like you always say, it happens for a reason. Again, it's an and. Feel your feels.
Yes.
Turn them all the way up.
All the way.
All the way.
Yeah.
Don't bypass anything because you know it's for you. Only when you've turned it all the way up and felt the fuck out of it is when you're like, oh, yep. And it's on your timeline, no one else's.
Yeah, I was going to say that takes as long as it takes.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like not a moment. Well, it could be a
Yeah.
moment. We don't
Yeah.
know.
I mean, I have students that know all of this stuff. They've been hearing it from me for years, and yet, their mom died and they're sad and they're upset that they're still sad after a year. It's like, well, your mom died. It's okay. You can be upset for 5 years if you want. It's fine. So, yeah.
I love that you get that so much because I'm curious for you specifically. I know all this too, and when I go to help myself through something, it's like virtually impossible. Do you find that? Do you bring yourself through? I can do it. It just takes me a little bit longer for
Yeah.
myself. Something that could be a cinch, quote unquote, for me and the people I serve is really hard when I go to do it myself.
Sure. Yeah. Well, it is and it isn't. It depends on what it is. There's some things that, I don't get it until I get it, and that's okay. Sometimes I'll just be washing the dishes and all of a sudden I'll go, oh my God, how could I have not seen that? So yeah, it takes as long as it takes. It's deep stuff. We're talking hundreds of lifetimes here,
Yeah, I love that. It happens when it happens. And I'm a fiery Aries, so I'm gonna want it like now, like yesterday? And so I try to find that balance for myself, and I'm very proud of myself on the moments when I'm having an internal meltdown and I just put myself to bed. Like, okay, we're wrapping up. Lights out. Bye.
Nighty night.
And I just go inward. I have this weighted mask, this weighted eye mask, and I go in. I go into my energy fields and I feel like almost a body scan of inside. And I don't try to fix anything. I'm like, I love you. I'm here. I love you. I'm here. I'm receiving. Thank you. And it's not always that beautiful either. It's sometimes messy and I'm like, fuck everything? So, Bryce, as we start to wind down, what would you say to this is interesting because free will and consent and autonomy, sovereignty is one of the core pillars, for me, I would say, to a spiritual learning and understanding yourself as a divine being, having a human experience. But, and knowing that we all chose this space and time right now specifically for a reason, and that we are being divinely upgraded in our DNA, cosmic consciousness. What would you share with the folks that are like biting it tooth and nail? Like, absolutely not. But also on the other end, like the ones that are like, when I came to you before we hit record, I'm like, I feel that in my current state of ascension or consciousness, I'm looking for the communities that are even more ascended or like know more or understand more or like have dived, like, I want to be taught more and things like that. So that's a long question. But if you can share what you would say to those that are like both fighting the upgrade, but also the ones that are like, more please. And maybe all things in between too, right?
Yeah. Well, I deal a lot with people that are fighting that. Students arrive in my program, and I think it's gotten a little bit better through the years, but it used to be people would roll their eyes if I would talk about past lives, or they'd roll their eyes when I would talk about spirituality.
May I ask a question? Why are
Sure.
they there? Why are they there if they're going to roll their eyes?
Sometimes their wife sent them, or that kind of thing. And I always say in the very beginning, if your wife or your husband sent you here and you don't want to be here, don't be here.
Free
Yeah.
will.
Yeah. Nobody's ever walked out. But I also have found that some of my most skeptical students end up getting it so deeply that it's amazing. You know, I had one student, he used to fight me every inch of the way. I would say something and he'd have his hands on his hips ready to attack. And right now he posts stuff on Facebook that is so profound. I'm like, who is that? So anyway, but the answer is, yeah, it takes a while. And there was something else I was going to say about that. Oh, yeah, that if you look at it as kind of like a blueprint. So we're given a blueprint of sort of basic certain things that are going to happen. And you have free will in between each step on that blueprint. You can, you know, jump to the next level, or you can ignore it, or you can do whatever. But there's always that basic blueprint. Like my basic blueprint from as far back as I've seen in my past lives was, I'm here to teach people. Okay. So that can take various forms. It's taken 20 or 30 different lifetimes of different forms. It's taken one lifetime where I completely said, forget it, I'm not going to do it. There were many lifetimes that I killed myself because I couldn't do it, you know, that kind of a thing. But it's always been that same blueprint, that same intention, that same divine purpose. So in terms of finding commonality or finding a community that vibes, you know, again, put it out there. And I've already given you one suggestion before we went on tape, and it'll happen. It really will. And maybe it's supposed to just happen from you. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So amazing you said that. Because I keep getting the messages from my guys that it's like, but it's you.
It's you.
It's like, what are you talking about? It's you. I'm like, I want to be held. And they're like, right, it's you. Okay. It's pretty amazing because you and I talk so freely about how we move through this work, and it's such an innate knowing. And there's a lot more people, especially over March, April, particularly March, what is it, 29th, that are going to immediately, almost seemingly, suddenly feel like, what, why do I know this? And why does it make sense? And, under, you know, and so just being open and allowing, I feel, especially, I call it, out on like LinkedIn, I call it woo curious. It's the idea that there is more than this like one point in time 3D human experience.
Yes.
That's all it's got to be. If you agree on any, this is my philosophy, if you agree on any degree, any level that that's true, we have space for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to be an ascended master. You don't have to have, because, oh, by the way, none of us ever will be. Is that true?
I don't think it's true.
I'm listening. There was like, it was like crickets. Okay. You tell me more.
I think all of us will attain that place, and some of us are already here.
Awesome.
And we may not recognize it, and they might be showing up in a form that really doesn't seem like they're an ascended master, but could be.
I love how you put that. You're right. Because I think the long-term conditioning that you get a degree and you graduate and there's always an end point.
Right.
That's probably what I was feeling when I said,
Yeah.
never get there. That's not,
Yeah.
that's
Yeah.
not, that's not true. So cool.
They could choose a lifetime where they're here to just push everybody's buttons and trigger everybody crazily so they finally get it.
I mean, we have people in this space and time that is their exact role, and
Yes.
they're beautifully doing
Beautiful.
that.
Perfectly. Yes.
Oh, Royce, where do we find you? How can we support your work?
Well, my website is perfectlifeawakening.com or roycemorales.com. I'm on Om Times Media every Wednesday at 9 a.m. I have two shows. One of them is called The Perfect Life Awakening Show, where I interview wonderful people, and you and I are going to do that soon. And the other one is called It's All Mirrors, where I talk about, you know, how is this situation a mirror for something? And, you know, we go into various specific topics. Like this week upcoming, as I said, is going to be about children and spirituality. Really fascinating stuff. And watch out for my wonderful movie, whatever, wherever and whenever it shows up. And Royce's Ramblings. Once a week, I do a Substack.
I'm chuckling because if you can ever get to the point where, and listen to mirroring how Royce explains it, it's really, really exquisite and fascinating. I've gotten to a point where I'm like, dang it, I'm mad and you're a mirror and it's mine and I just am. It's not yours. So just disregard, but bye and thanks.
Thank you. Bye. Yes.
And like when I notice that I'm a mirror for someone with my spiritual friends, one recently I was like, oh, you're welcome for finding an edge. She was like, yeah, thanks. And it's all like, we all get it. And it's not like a, you know, but it's like, it's just kind of, it takes a fun spin when you're like, oh, I'm really mad right now. And I know this is mine. Fuck.
Although be careful with pointing out your mirrors to somebody. I had a class one time where we had a person that pushed everybody's buttons. He was the number one button pusher of the group. And after I gave them the lecture on mirrors and they understood it, several of them said, oh, you're my jerky person mirror. Oh, you're my...
Oopsies.
That didn't go over real well. So just be careful how you phrase it.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Because then you could go into this like never ending game of like, well, you're my mirror. Well, you're my mirror. Well, you're my mirror. Well, you're my, you're just good.
Right. Yes.
So that's why I like to say like, ooh, you helped me find an edge. Thank you.
Yeah, that's good.
Because it's more about like a circumstance or a very specific like, ouch. Ooh, and not about the whole person overall. They just helped me find an edge. So
yes.
Cool. Closing remarks as we wrap up.
I always like to just explain mirroring in a real simple way. And just as to kind of remind everybody in my final closing remarks that if you think of a seesaw and you see one person pushing down one side of the seesaw, the other side has to come up. So mirrors are the other side of the seesaw coming up so that you can see what you're pushing down. So just keep that in mind. Button is pushed, trigger is felt. There's some kind of a mirror there for you to see. So thank you so much for letting me explain that in a very simple way.
Thank you, Royce.
Thank you, Amy. This was fun.